America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494 on a Wednesday. This hour is sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes, fly and fill up on wings in seven delicious flavors from Popeyes. All right, coming up in a little bit, Nick Sirianni's midweek press conference. A big what if Wednesday as we start looking ahead to some big things that could be happening.
Dallas week.
It is Dallas week. Elliot later in the show. And Kyle, our next guest here is our buddy Seth Joyner.
And Seth is sponsored by Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook. New users can score up to a $1,000 casino bonus in their first 24 hours. BetParks.com. Must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER.
Seth, how we doing?
What's happening, Hugh? You got to let Kyle do his read first, man.
My bad, dog. You know, it's Dallas week. You know what? Like, Seth, I don't think I've ever asked you this question, but I used to hear stories about you guys in Dallas week, and I just wanted to know, what was it like for you getting ready for Dallas week?
Oh, man, it was twofold. It was like the perfect storm. Cut. Quick story. When I was coming out of college 2 weeks before the draft, Dallas actually flew me into Dallas and worked me out. Now, I was never a Cowboys fan, but you know, when the prospect of coming to the league, you like, I'm gonna play for whoever drafts me. You know what I'm saying? So they kind of promised me that they was gonna draft me, and then it never happened. Mm-hmm. Then the Eagles draft me. I come to Philly, and never really understood the hatred and the rivalry between the two teams. So my hatred for the Cowboys is on steroids compared to, you know, the average person. You know, this nonsense about the Giants rivalry is bigger than the Cowboys rivalry. Man, you fan, please.
Seth, that only happened, I think, the last maybe 15, 20 years because the Cowboys haven't been quite as good. But, Seth, I remember when I was younger, you know, towards the second half of your career, seeing some of those and then the moments. Like, that's when it felt to me like it was at its best, Seth. That rivalry, when you were playing and Buddy, those games, especially the games in Dallas, it just felt – the week felt different, the feeling felt different. And every time we get to play the Cowboys now, Seth, he kind of brings those memories back.
Joe. I've been listening to you and Hugh for a whole year now, man. You are so off when it comes to this. Dallas is Dallas. I hate them. Beep, 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 beep. Listen, it's a big game every time. I don't care what the teams. Both teams can be 0-5 by the time they get together. In the city of Philadelphia, that's a major rivalry. That's the biggest rivalry we have, okay? My hair stands up on the back of my neck when I think about playing the Dallas Cowboys, all right? That's serious business.
Well, of course it is, and it always will be. Seth, so let's talk about this week, this game. Seth, the Cowboys are in a bad way. I mean, the Eagles get them at a time they lose their quarterback. When you think about this week, this game, this feels like a chance, Seth, for the Eagles to bury the Cowboys and get another win under their belt to 7-2.
Perfect. It is, though. You know, couldn't. What's going on with the Dallas Cowboys couldn't have it to a better organization. let me just start with that. And there have been times in the history of this rivalry when the Eagles have been on the opposite end of the circumstances and how it looks and feels right now. Mm-hmm. They didn't have no mercy or no sympathy on us. We should go in this game with no mercy or sympathy for them. I mean, go down there, totally destroy them in their house, you know, while they're down, kick them. You know, while they're down, pour your drink on them. I don't care. I don't want the Eagles to go in and dominate this game, put the foot on the gas pedal, and keep it on there until the clock says 0-0-0. If you can go down there and put 70 on them like they put on somebody last year, do it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Well, I love that, and hopefully that is Sunday. Seth, part of that and getting all those points on the board will be the decision-making of the head coach when they have a chance to score points, whether it be a field goal, whether it be two-point conversions or extra points. Seth, what was your takeaway on Nick Sirianni's decisions on Sunday? They won. They got out with the victory, even though it got tight at the end. But there were a lot of moments. I mean, if you count them up, Seth, there are 9 points that Sirianni had a hand in either trying to get on the board or taking off the board. What did you make of how Sirianni coached the game on Sunday when it came to the in-game decisions?
Listen, I don't have a problem with being aggressive, but I think that we have evolved. I think, first of all, we're drunk on analytics and we're drunk on the go for it all the time. I think that if the game warrants you going for it, and when I say if the game warrants it, if you're in a shootout with a team and you know that you got to keep pace points-wise, then you go for it at every turn. If you are, if it's a game-tying, game-winning, or an opportunity for you to turn a 2-score lead into a 3-score lead, then you go for it. But this just going for it and going for 2, you know, when it really doesn't matter, what's the difference between 17 and 18 points? To me, that's just stupid. That's just pure idiocy, you know. And for Nick to double down on it and say that he didn't think that he did anything wrong, if he was in that set of circumstances, he'd do it all over again, I think that's a problem, you know. Because when you're playing a team like the Jaguars, they had 38 yards in the first half. They only had one first down in the entire first half. You had an opportunity, if you take all the points all along, okay, just take the points. If you take the points, they're waiting to quit. They're waiting to lay down. That's what happens with bad teams. But when you do stupid stuff like he did in the first half, all it takes is 1 or 2 touchdowns, and boom, they're right back in the game. And now the team that was willing to lay down and die, you just gave them life. To me, that makes no sense. So if he doesn't adjust how he is going to, you know, be aggressive, then it's going to bite us in the ass down the road again. I'm telling you right now, because there's a time and a place and a reason why you be aggressive. And there's a time and a place when you're playing the team and you know that you can put them away, that you just put them away. Damn being aggressive just to be aggressive. Be aggressive when necessary.
Seth, I agree. I mean, I think sometimes these coaches, Sirianni's not the only one, they just look at, okay, this is a situation we're supposed to go for it, instead of saying, all right, if we're playing the Lions, we're playing the Chiefs, we're playing the Ravens, well, we need to get, you know, it's the first team to 30 points or whatever, then we need to get there. You're playing the Jaguars, just keep it simple. I mean,
yeah, you should just beat them.
I mean, what Seth just said, you've said that all week, similar, the idea that the Jaguars had 30 yards at halftime. Why are we pushing the envelope?
Yeah, and I know we're a little antiquated, but to me, that is a situation where I don't feel, like you said, Seth, in the first half, they didn't have any offense. I don't feel you need to chase points in that situation. We were sitting on the sideline, and it was me and a couple other old guys that I was hanging out with, and we were just like dumbfounded. Why are they going for 2? Like, it just didn't make any sense to me in that situation.
Bro, listen, let me tell you something. It ain't antiquated, because there was a point in time in the National Football League where running the football was becoming antiquated. And isn't that moving in a different direction?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. It is.
Okay. So then when you look at the successful coaches in the National Football League, Andy Reid, Sean Payton, Mike Tomlinson, they don't lose their damn mind chasing points. You know what they do? When they if Andy thinks that he's got to play because it's something new, it's a new wrinkle, or he feels that they can really execute it and they're at the 50-yard line, then they'll go for it. And the only time he's going to go for it is a situation where the game is close. Like, mm-hmm. He went for it on the first time they hit the 50-yard line on Monday night. Why? Because the opposing team was, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were close. They scored a touchdown. The game was close. So then he went for it. But every other time, they pin the opponent, you know, down, and they make them go 70, 80 yards to get points, okay? They take points when points are available. How many times you see Harris Buckner run out there and kick field goals, or the kicker for, you know, the Steelers go out? You watch Mike Tomlin. He won a game. The Steelers won a game earlier this year. They kicked 5 field goals in one game, won 15 to something. Okay, so that antiquated nonsense is BS. Because the real good coaches, the coaches who have had longevity in this game, they use analytics and the go for it mentality only when there's an advantage. Mm. Like I said, there was no advantage of having 17 or 18 points. That's stupidity. Now you got 16.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tommy?
Yeah, it's a really good point. I mean, some of the best coaches, and like you said, the longest tenure coaches, people tend to say are conservative, whether it be Shanahan, McVay, Reed. All I know is their teams win a lot and they score a lot of points almost every single week. All right, Seth, yesterday was the NFL trade deadline. Usually, Howie Roseman does something. Almost every year he adds something. Nothing yesterday. Seth, were you surprised? Did you think the Eagles should have made a move?
I was disappointed to see pass rushers moving for 5th, 6th, and 7th rounders, and we sat pat and weren't active in that area. And I get it. You know, Nick Sirianni is going to say, you know, I like our team. Vic Fangio is going to say, yeah, I'm pleased with what we got right now. But anybody who got eyes to see and anybody who knows football, and as a coach, that's what you're supposed to say, because now you're speaking to the players that you coach. So outwardly, you can't say that. But anybody who's got eyes to see and anybody who's watched the football team knows that they need a bona fide pass rusher. Za'Darius Smith would have looked fantastic here. And Joe, I agree with you. I would have gave up them 2 first-round draft picks if it would have got us Myles Garrett. You know, because
he didn't say Micah Parsons, though. He said Myles Garrett. He didn't say Micah Parsons.
I might even gave him up for Micah Parsons.
Oh, Micah Parsons,
now,
come
see,
on.
Seth gets it. Seth gets it.
Hey, listen, Micah Parsons, 25 years old, man. You're going to get at least another 7-8 out of him. And guess what? You know, the culture is different in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
I would have got him up in here, get BG on him, man. You shut that damn podcast down. We here to win championships, bro. Okay, it's possible. Lane Johnson's voice is becoming louder and louder in that locker room now that Jason Kelce is gone, and now that Fletcher Cox is gone, speaking up, speaking between the lines. If you can read, it's they need a pass rusher, man. Mm-hmm. They, you know, and Asarm, what they had was a guy that was bona fide. You knew that he was going to get you double digits, and you knew that he was going to show up in crunch time. Josh Sweat had a great week last week, but that was last week. Mm. We don't get that out of Josh every single week. We can't count on that out of Josh every single week, and we don't have that one guy that strikes fear in opposing offenses in crunch time. And I think that Howie, for all the good that he's done, putting this roster together, signing Saquon, so on and so forth, that was a mistake, him not getting an upgrade at the defensive end or the edge rusher position yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was disappointed when 4 o'clock came and the Eagles didn't make no move in that area whatsoever.
Me too, Seth. Seth, always appreciate having on. Have a great week. Enjoy Cowboys week and hopefully a good win on Sunday. We'll chat next week. Thank you, Seth.
Have a good one, man.
You got it, fellas.
There you go. Seth Joyner there. Disappointed. See, Seth brought it today. Disappointed in Howie Roseman. And I just got to say, after hearing Seth agree with me on the Parsons thing and the pass rusher thing,
You feel empowered.
Well, I just feel like we need to update the rankings here. Defensive players on this show, I'm one, you're two. I mean, that's clear now.
I mean, you know, I get
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.